بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدونوقال الله تعالى يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تخلقوا بأخلاق الله أو كما قال مولاي صلى الله عليه وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم My respected seniors, brothers, listeners in Islam, today we are going to touch on a very, very important subject.And this subject concerns a complaint which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very lovingly and very kindly makes against us is His creation. Now one ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affectionately brings to our notice a shortcoming that almost everyone has. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal insan, O mankind, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. What has caused you to have forgotten your Rabb who is kareem? What deceived you with regards to your Lord who is most benevolent? What made you lose yourselfIn this worldly life that I have given you, brings us to the other ayah. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created mankind and jinnkind except that they must يَعْبُدُونَ أَيْ لِيَعْرِفُونَ That they recognize me. They must recognize me, they must understand me, they must value me, they must appreciate me.They must factor me into everything that they do, because at the end of the day, I have created them. I'm their nourisher. I'm their protector. I am the one who they will return to. So why is it that we are so lost, so brutally off track, if you can call it? We've got a lot of wealth, many of us at least. And yet at the same time, there's one thirst and one hunger. That's something that our soul is desirous of, which we crave for, and we feel that our soul will be satisfied. It will find tranquility and peace. If I have a huge, beautiful house, and if it's by the beach, it's even better. Or I've got a very, very comfortable, luxurious car. People can stay at the car more than they stay at me.And I've made it. But deep down you haven't made it. We haven't made it. We know there's this one thing in our existence that until we don't get to that, we shall, wallah, never even know what peace of mind is. And I don't say so. Quran al-Karim Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِAla bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. You'll never find peace of mind. Allah Ta'ala told us openly. I'm speaking from the Quran al-Karim. This is not my philosophy. It's from the Kalam. I'm reciting to you the ayat. You believe in the Quran al-Karim. We believe in the Quran al-Karim. We believe it's Allah's word. We believe that these words are untainted. It has not in any way been modified or alterated. 14 centuries, just as fresh as it came from the skies. Alhamdulillah, it is recited to us. Allah says, Alladhina amanu. First of all, Allah comments on the people of Iman. Disbelievers, we've got nothing to do with them. They've planned, they've schemed, they've mapped out their own way of their thinking, their ideology, their worshipping. Here Allah Ta'ala speaks to specifically about the mu'minin. Alladhina amanu, we've got Iman. We read, La ilaha illallah, you give shahada.Now you want peace of mind. Your peace of mind, my peace of mind is only going to be with dhikrullah. You must remember me. It is only Allah. Allah means listen. Listen to me. How you plead with somebody, don't go down this road, man. There are people, there's an accident there. There could be a hijacking there. Don't listen to me. Allah Ta'ala says, listen to me. Allah, listen to me. It's only what my remembrance that you are going to find peace of mind. There are three levels of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one is verbally, you say Allah. The other one is you act in accordance to the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are in dhikrullah, although you are conducting your business, although you are with your family, being cheerful to them, although you may be going for a holiday in St. Drakensberg, but you remember the laws of Allah, you remember the restrictions of Allah, you remember Allah, that these moments when I'm so much in experiencing happiness, that same Allah can snatch it away in a split moment. I must make sure I don't listen to music. I must make sure I am alert of the times of Salah. I must make sure that I conduct my business as He is going to be happy with me. I must make the dhikrullah. A person comes with a parcel, a big mashallah container, boss, you know what, take it for this price. You understand, your aql says to you, your mind says, your intelligence dictates to you, you know what, it's impossible that this can thing, this commodity or this parcel here that is trying to sell me, at this price it's impossible, it's something very wrong. Now either you go into self-justification and we allow the shaitan to take the steering of our souls. And the shaitan whispers, hey, come on, man. What proof have you got he stole it? What proof have you got it's backdoor goods? But deep down there's something that irks you and it agitates us and it says, no, man, you know what, this is impossible. Continue of cell phones and he wants to tell me, give me 10,000 and no ways. Now if we allow the shaitan to take control of our soul, we have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though we may be carved in the sunnah appearance, but we've forgotten Allah ta'ala. You're not in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. I'm not in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. Or you tell somebody, you know what, I'm going to pay you end of the month, don't worry, man. And thereafter what happens? You know deep down I'm not going to pay you. Or even if your intention is the month draws to a close, you try and avoid him, you try and ignore him, you do not take his calls, the man is now, he is in greater cliff, I banked on you, I've got commitments, man, bye, come on, man. You may be sitting for Umrah there, but wallah, you're getting a lot of sin. You're getting sin while going for Umrah. Why you went with wealth, it was due to somebody else, but you preferred going to worship, not Allah. Make no mistake. Worshipping Allah is something else. People worship the acts of worship. They come back, we went for Umrah. Hey, what a time we have. You worship, your act of worship, you never worshipped Allah. If you worshipped Allah, you would have sold your shoes and say, I'm going to pay that man. I'll go and sit by his door and beg for forgiveness if I can't meet my commitment. I'll be honest, I'll be truthful. So, the one is the dhikr with the tongue. The one is the dhikr with our actions. The one is the zikr with understanding, having that knowledge, what applies at which situation. Person is performing salah. He senses a person, a blind person is walking past him, and the blind person is going to injure himself. What does the shaykh say? Must you get on with your salah? No ways. So break your salah and help him. Break your salah and help him. The wife is scared. She is perhaps new in a locality, lot of robberies. She doesn't know who is who. She tells her husband, please read your Fajr and your Isha Salah. I'm too scared, you know. Please. If he says, I'm going to the masjid. You think he's worshipping Allah? Making his wife suffer? Making his children fret with worries? No, my respect. We haven't understood Iman in Islam. There are exceptions, no doubt about it. And then there are others, we feel, you know, we are goners, we've sinned so much, there is no return. There is no return. No. Recognize Allah. Recognize the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recognize the wonderful qualities He possesses. Then we will understand that this world is nothing. It's nothing. One Allah is It is infinitely more powerful, more majestic, more glorifying, more satisfying to the soul than all the world and whatever it can contain. We will value the word of Allah, the name of Allah, and the proof of it is we will value the system of Allah. It's a divine system that goes with His name. And we will value that which is imposed upon us for our good, the Sharia. And we will value the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How forgiving is Allah? How tolerant is He? How merciful is He? How modest, in inverted commas, is He? You will understand this here from this incident which I'm going to narrate to you. Strewn along the path and the corridors of the ages, we will find some of the greatest awliya, friends of Allah, were those who were the most wicked and cruel gangsters, murderers, usurpers, people indulging in usury, taking interest, etc. But came a time, a moment, he turned away and said, enough is enough. I'm tired of this life. I want another life. One such person was Habibi Ajmi Rahmatullah Ali. He was fantastically wealthy. He was as cruel could be. When a poor would need money, he would say, no problem, how much you want? So much, okay. Listen here, here the register, lunch on Fridays, you bring my lunch. On Monday, you bring my lunch. And he kept a roster. Whoever he had borrowed money to, they had to pay him back whatever was due to him. Plus, they had to cook food for him for specific times, for specific days. And he used to laugh. He used to say, the fire in Habib's house is never littered, and yet he eats the best of food. One day he comes home, tells his wife, oh, bring the roster here. Did he bring the food? Yes, the curry is here. Presented the curry, there was meat, he dishes out in his plate. As he touches the meat, it turns into blood, a lump of blood which is melting. It gets a shock. What's happening here? The wife says, I don't know. Tries another piece of meat, the same thing. He stands up, he says, this is a message for me. That I'm sucking the blood of the poor. And I'm in my own mind thinking I'm doing them a favor. Where do I go now? Where do I start off now? What must I do? Like today, this, you know, where do we go? The Maulanas are fighting with one another and this one. We just don't know as a layman what to do. No, my brothers. We choose. Remember the word is choose. You choose your road. You know, COVID-10 people chose. They made a choice. You got a problem with the law, you choose one lawyer, one advocate there. You're going to compare, you're going to size up, you're going to weigh, you're going to scale, you're going to find who's more experienced. You're going to make some serious research and analyze, and in the end, ultimate end, you are going to go with the person you think this person will serve me in order that I be successful. Allah will never ever, never ever leave you alone. Until you don't go through this process which I have described, because this process is mentioned in the Quran Kareem. Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Whoever makes an effort and strives, he is serious, she is serious, he wants Allah, she wants Allah, whoever you are, wherever you are, in whichever era it may be, I will most certainly, we will guide you along one of our paths. We will bring it to, we know what you want, but you don't get it at your terms. You've got to get it in the terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Habibi Ajmi decided, let me go to Hassan Basri. He is a great wali. I've heard a lot of him, about him. He walks on the road, small children are playing, it's Baghdad, and suddenly children see him and they squirt from there, run, helter, skelter, run away, run away. Habib's shadow mustn't fall on you, you'll go to Jahannam. You all are journalists, let his shadow also know this man is so evil and wicked and such a sinner. If his shadow touches you, then all the children skelter run away from him. He shakes his head, Ya Allah, am I really such a sinner that an innocent child can't bear my shadow? Comes Habib-e Ajmi, at least Hasan Basri at that time, is giving a discourse, giving a talk. Quietly, somewhere in a corner, Habib sits, holds his hand, looks down. No one has seen him. He's embarrassed. And suddenly, Hazrat Hasan radiallahu ta'ala says, what's wrong with people? They take unjust money from others, from the poor. They eat and they consume the blood of the poor. And then they feel that they are doing a favor to the poor. They forget they're going to return to Allah. Do they not fear Allah? Do they not fear Allah? The tears start pouring from Habib. After the talk, he makes his way forward. Cries. People are looking at him. He says, please, I want my way to Allah. I had enough now. My friends, my beloved brothers, when are we going to say to ourselves, I have had now enough? We are now in the 50s, 60s. When are we going to look in the mirror and say, when is enough going to be ever enough? Isn't it time that I use my energy, my resources, the ni'mat Allah has blessed me, that I find my way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I grab and I come into the lap of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who takes one step towards Allah, Allah ta'ala takes two steps towards him. The hadith carries on until a person runs to Allah, Allah ta'ala puts him in the lap. There is substance to this hadith. This hadith is there. So, he takes some instructions from Hasan Basri. Hasan Basri told him, see, you want to walk towards Allah, first thing you have to ask forgiveness from people and you have to repay them whatever you have usurped from them. No problem. But how will I do it? I'm here to help you. I'm here to help. Stands up. He is on his way back home. Now look at Allah's Qudrat. Allah is all-seeing. Don't despair of Allah's mercy. Oh, you have fornicated. You have consumed alcohol. You've been to the casinos. You have had illicit affairs. You have conned people. You have lied. I say to yourself and myself, don't despair of Allah's mercy. Man can worship idols for 99 years. Only one time he says, Rabbi ghfirli, Allah, forgive me, finish. All forgiven. 99 years of worshipping, sacrificing, adoring, and prepared to give his life for an idol. Just one time he says, forgive me, finish. That same children who ran away from him, suddenly they see Habib, the tongue of a child, many a times Allah gives a message because their tongue is innocent and pure from sin. Children ask him, run towards Habib, run towards Habib. Let his shadow fall on you so that you go to Jannah. Let his shadow fall on you so that you may enter into Jannah. They crowd around him, they hug him. He puts his hand on the heads. We have we lost ourselves. We crave the dunya, we die for it. We thirsty for it, we want more and more and more. Until the time will come, we'll see miracle maut coming from the distance somewhere. It will be just too late to say, wait, hold on, man. I want to make faman shah takhadha ila rabbi sabila. Now look at how Allah forgives. He does whatever is told to him. He's given instructions. No, whatever. There's a time one day, Hazrat Hasan Basri, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, at night, he decides, let me meet my, go and meet Habib. Spend some time speaking about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People think, you know, if you come and speak about Allah and His Rasul, you're gone, man. You're not going to enjoy life. Wallah! You can't even imagine how they enjoy life. Kings cannot even imagine why their souls are driven by the malaika and the angels, because the souls are addicted to the name of Allah and addicted to the obedience of Allah. So he goes to Hazrat Hasan Basri, knocks on the door, house, come inside, where's your Abba, father, he's busy, you can come inside, wait here, goes inside, he sees, Habib is performing some nafal salah. Finished, salam alaikum, walaikum salam, spoke something like, come let's read a couple of rakats of salah. in a Nafal Sarai, it can be Jamaat, up to four people. So Hasan Basri Radhan thinks, you know what, who becomes our Imam? Habib is Ajmi. Ajmi means he's a non-Arab, and Hasan Basri was an Arab, and he's a Sheikh also, obviously. So Hazrat Hasan went in front. Habib didn't even think about it. There was no thinking. When we annihilate ourselves in the remembrance of Allah, you don't need to think who you are. You'll think, I don't deserve to be thought about. I'm so bad, so bad. No one must know my qabr. There are awliya who before passing away made wasiyat, buried me close to the river bank. They couldn't understand why, until the floods came and the qabr signs were washed away, and then they saw the buzuk in the dream. Now no one knows where I'm even buried. We worship our name. May Allah forgive us. Coming back, so that night, he goes home, Hazrat Hassan, he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nur in a dream, and, Ya Allah, I want to be closer to you. Now don't ask the question, how can you see Allah ta'ala? Allah ta'ala says, La tudrikul absar, no one can perceive him and see him, etc. The proof of the pudding lies in Allah's nur twice in a dream. Alhamdulillah, people do see, in proportion to the spiritual status, but there is that possibility. We speak about not the Zaat, not the actual Allah that is only in Jannah, we're going to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like giving us an example, a person walks past a frosted window, you can make out there's someone there. Nonetheless, oh Allah, I want to come closer to you. How do I come closer to you? Allah ta'ala says, I gave you an opportunity, you never took it. So when was this opportunity? You let go of it. But when? Had you made Habib the Imam and you stood behind him at Red Sarah, you would have been even closer to me. There's no time. Huzail bin Ayyaz, what a great robber he was when he made his tawbah, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala gave him such acceptance that the awliya would come and sit by his feet. Everything is there for the taking. It's just for us to make that decision, no man. I must find a way now to Allah Ta'ala. As I mentioned the procedure, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With Allah by our side, with Allah being our companion, constant companion, unforgettable companion, inshallah, inshallah, we will enjoy a much more blissful life in this dunya. Akhir wa akhir da'wana. Anil hamdulillah.